It's time for The Adventures of Young William Lane Craig, starring William Lane Craig as William Lane Craig, and brought to you by Molinism Acne Medication. Get rid of your unsightly moles today. Return with us now to the boisterous boyhood days of William Lane Craig. William, time to wash up for what the Sam Hill are you doing?
Gee, Dad, I'm doing a science project for school. Are you going to yell at me?
No, William, it's just that using the toilet bowl for a school project is...
Gee, Dad, it's just that our toilet bowl has a leaky supply line with all kinds of bacteria and cool stuff to experiment on. Here, look at what I grew.
What the Sam Hill...
Can I keep him? His name is Alvin.
Well, I don't know, son. Maybe you ought to try philosophy rather than science. And you flush that thing immediately.
I can't get the lid down, Dad.
Dr. Craig, let's talk about some of the past and some of the upcoming adventures of Reasonable Faith. You've been traveling a lot. Should we begin with the plumbing problems that
you
had?
Oh, my goodness. You talk about adventures, Kevin. Yeah, one Sunday morning while I was preparing to go to Defender's class, I suddenly heard Jen screaming in the kitchen. And I thought, what's the matter? Has she seen a rat or something? I ran running into the kitchen, and there was water just spewing out from under the sink, flowing across the floor. I ran downstairs to shut off the water, and already it was coming through the ceiling, downstairs, down the walls. It was a big puddle on the floor in the downstairs, and we finally got this shut off, but the damage was done. And so in recent weeks, we've been dealing with that. The cleanup people have come to the house and cut big holes in the drywall. And I'm currently still negotiating with them to get an insurance settlement. And we're trying to schedule now the people to come and do the floors, the hardwood floors that got warped from the water. So they're going to redo the hardwood floors and then all the drywall and the ceilings and things like that. It's going to be major upheaval at our house for
all
a while.
Challenges, there really are. Is this, yeah. Did this have anything to do with some of the recent flooding that's been going on in the southeast?
No, it hasn't. It was just a bad, what they call a supply line. I've learned some things about plumbing through this experience. The water line that comes from your pipe to your faucet is a kind of flexible tube, and that thing just burst open. Even though it was relatively new, shouldn't have been defective, but it just split. And so all the water, all the force just was spewing out of this burst supply line.
Are there any theological or philosophical insights that you gained from any of this?
No, except to sort of roll with the punches,
sure.
Recognize that this is in the providence of God. And Jan and I always look for the silver lining when something like this goes wrong. And I didn't see what there could be from this one. But I think the silver lining is this. We're going to get the whole upstairs hardwood floors of the house refinished for free because the insurance is going to pay for everything.
Wow.
And since they say you can't just refinish one room, they have to take it out into the hall and then down the hall, and then into the bedroom where there was no water at all, but it's just sort of like, you can't stop. And so the whole upstairs is going to be refinished, free of charge, paid for by insurance, and this will be great for Jan and me for the next 20 years as we live in the house. So in that sense, something good comes out of it.
Sure. We had a little bit of damage from floods at my house.
Oh.
FEMA came in and declared our neighborhood a disaster area. We had to fill out FEMA papers. We didn't get it as bad as you and Jan did, but Kelly and I did have to have some carpet damaging as it came in. But it was like a waterfall on either side of the house. And so water can do a lot of damage.
It really can. And it's the mold that you have to watch out for.
Afterwards. Exactly right. The Singapore trip. Let's talk a little bit about that. Was that...
This was set up by the local Reasonable Faith chapter director, Jesse Chin, in Singapore. I didn't even know we had a chapter in Singapore. But this fellow arranged this whole conference. They had some key Christian business people to help pay for it. And they put on a large conference that brought in not only me, but also Sean McDowell, as well as some local Christian speakers to participate. And then we had university outreaches as well for each of us in the city-state. And then from Singapore, we flew on to Hong Kong and did the same thing there at an Anglican church named St. Andrews. We held our apologetics conference and then did university outreaches at the Polytechnic and at Hong Kong University. So it was a nice combination of Christian training events, but also then evangelistic outreaches.
Some of the most enthusiastic people that you will meet are those who are leading Reasonable Faith chapters. I have found that. And they're coming up everywhere, Bill.
I was really impressed with these people, Kevin. I mean, these were really quality men who were capable. They were leaders and had a vision of doing something in their nation. And so that was just tremendously encouraging to be a part of that and to realize that while we're asleep, Reasonable Faith is having a ministry and impact in the lives of these people in Singapore and Malaysia, China. People were there from Indonesia. There was one pastor at this conference that came over from Myanmar, the Burma. So it was just remarkable to see how the Lord's using this material in the Far East.
Outstanding. Always want to tell people, go to reasonablefaith.org, find out how to set up a local chapter. The Ohio State University event. Now, we're going to be talking about this. When this occurred, we just said, we have got to do some podcast on this. Yeah. Bill, just a sneak preview. This was with philosopher Kevin Sharp. This exchange took you by surprise.
It did.
And we'll talk about that in an upcoming podcast, or two, or three, however long it takes, because it turned out to be a very interesting event. But just a sneak preview, what is it about it that kind of caught you by surprise?
Well, the background to this is that I was invited by the Veritas Forum to give a talk at Ohio State. And I thought, fine, this won't be difficult, just give a talk and have a Q&A. And then very near to the event, they suddenly said, well, we want you to do a dialogue with Dr. Kevin Sharp on this. And I said, wait a minute, when you have a dialogue or a debate with another person, that's a whole different can of worms. That requires a lot of preparation. I'll have to read his material and so forth. Let's just stick to what we originally had. I'll come and give a talk. And he said, well, you can do that. But he said, I have to let you know the audience will be three times as large if you have this dialogue than if you just come and give a talk. And I thought, well, when you measure the impact of the event, it seemed worth it to have this dialogue. And I thought, well, it's not a debate. It's just a dialogue. So this will just be a sort of friendly conversation. And in preparation for it, I watched a previous Veritas Forum from about 2 years ago that Kevin Sharp did with a Christian mathematics professor. And Kevin Sharp didn't even come prepared to that event. He was just very off the cuff, informal, conversational. And so I thought, oh, well, this will just be a friendly conversational event, nothing to be much concerned with. And when I got there, I found that I had really walked into a hornet's nest.
It was almost like walking into a slide presentation. Bill Craig, this is your life.
Yes. I mean,
with photos from when you were a baby and stuff that, I mean, he mapped out everything and just took this extremely seriously.
He did.
And it turned out to be a very interesting exchange.
That we'll talk about. That we can be very grateful to Kevin Sharp because he took the event seriously and yes. put in the preparation. And he made that very clear to me before the event, Kevin. He said to me that he had listened to the debates with Alex Rosenberg at Purdue and with Sean Carroll at New Orleans. He said that he had listened to all 7 years of our Reasonable Faith podcasts that wow. you and I have done together. I said, all 7 years? And he said, yes. He says, you don't think I'm going to come into this event unprepared, do you? And so we can be thankful that here is an opponent who took seriously the job of preparation and who came prepared to discuss these issues with me. And as a result, I think we had a really substantive exchange that will repay future discussion.
Can't wait to get into those. Okay. And do not miss that. The venues in Illinois. Let's talk a little bit about
that. Now, this was kind of interesting. When Jan and I were seminary students at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, just up the expressway in Mundelein, Illinois, was a Catholic seminary named St. Mary's on the Lake. Well, this seminary has since grown in its enrollments and now has about 200 young men preparing for the priesthood. And I was told that this is the largest Catholic seminary in the United States now, if not in North America. And they invited me to come and give two lectures, an invited lecture series called the Meyer Lectures. And the topics they set for me were very interesting. It was the impact of philosophy or the utility of philosophy for what is called the new evangelization. Now that's a code word in Catholic theology for an initiative that Pope John Paul II started late in his papacy to try to re-evangelize traditionally Christian countries which have become secularized, mm-hmm. primarily in Europe, but also in North America. And so they wanted to know, how would philosophy aid the task of reaching these secularized, formerly Christian countries with the gospel? And then the second lecture, they wanted me to talk about how to minister effectively on university campuses, drawing upon the years of experience that I've had speaking on campuses. And it was odd to be speaking in a Catholic setting, not being Catholic myself, but it underlined again, Kevin, how widely disseminated and used our material is, not only among Protestants, but also among Catholics and Orthodox and Coptics as well. When I was at St. Mary's, I met the newly appointed Bishop of Los Angeles, and he thanked me personally. He said, I want to thank you for the way in which you have awakened an interest in apologetics among young Catholics. So I was grateful to hear that the Lord is using it in that confession.
Outstanding. It shows where there are some terms of agreement and some yeah. areas of agreement as well.
Yeah.
The God's Not Dead movies, there's part one and part two.
Right.
Really made an impact. Even Saturday Night Live did a skit one of them. So that's a stamp of a cultural approval, at least, that is making an impact.
Yes, and the man that's behind this, a pastor named Rice Brooks, recently had a film showing of the movie in the Vatican for the Pope. So it is getting international exposure. Millions have seen this film. And Rice Brooks invited me to participate in an event in April at Arizona State University where we would have a dialogue with me, him, and Brian Miller, an MIT-trained physicist, on the evidence for the existence of God and for Christianity. And they filmed it and then planned to use the footage from that event for a forthcoming documentary that would be God's Not Dead, The Evidence, that will be less drama and more evidence-based, more of a documentary than a dramatic story such as the other movies are.
I really want to see God's Not Dead Part 3 with you in a starring role, so I want the producers to hear that right now. The storyline can be a philosopher whose house floods, which prevents him from, anyway. But quite an impact there, and I'm glad that they knew to kind of come to some good sources, some friends of ours, friends of reasonable faith, as well as you, and backing up what they want to put across in these films.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Kevin. I think that's absolutely right. And so I'm very glad to be collaborating with them. I feel that I can bring something to them in terms of academic substance, and they can bring something to us in terms of media exposure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. A couple of things as we wrap up today, Bill. Let's talk about what's going on in the future. Let's talk about Houston Baptist, what's going on there, and also your books.
Right. Well, I continued to teach at Houston Baptist University. I was there in the spring of the year, and then I'll be back there again in the fall. And then for 2017, we're planning trips to Ireland and Brazil, which should be very interesting. These are still just in the planning stages, so we don't have any firm dates. And I'm wrapping up on the publishing side of the ministry, my two books on divine aseity. They are both in press now. The book God Overall, the popular level version, is with Oxford University Press. And I just finished reading the final proofs for that book. And then the other book, the more scholarly level book, God and Abstract Objects, is under contract with Springer Verlag in Berlin, in Germany. And we'll be getting the final typescript of that to them to put into production. So, with that behind me now, I've turned to a new topic. I've begun to study the doctrine of the atonement. And I cannot tell you, Kevin, how rich a study this has been. I am learning so much. I thought I understood the doctrine of the atonement. Yeah. I've taught on it. Mm-hmm. But I am finding insights and subtleties and nuances to this doctrine that I never knew existed. So I am really growing and learning a lot through doing this, and excited to see what will come out of it.
Yeah, because as we're growing up as Christians, as we begin to study, we usually just assume there's just kind of one doctrine of the atonement. It's this. This is what the atonement is. Mm. But it is really multifaceted.
That's the right word. Okay. It's like a diamond with all these different facets to it.
Go to reasonablefaith.org, sign up for the newsletter, and you can get these once a month right in your mailbox, and keep up with us going on for Reasonable Faith.